Most people know John Wesley Powell as the first man to travel through the Grand Canyon. But as author of The Promise of the Grand Canyon, John Wesley Powell's Perilous Journey and His Vision for the American West, John F. Ross found out that adventure inspired Powell to re-envision water usage in the West. Wyoming Public Radio's Camila Kudelska speaks to Ross on how Powell believed his first trip down the Grand Canyon was a failure, but still inspired him later in life.
For him, that was, you know, he had lived, but it was a failure because all of their barometers had got broken, all of their maps were ruined, all of the data that they were taking with sextants, all sorts of things was all ruined because they, at the end, were just, you know, running out of food and racing for their lives. I mean, it was a terrible close call. So what did he do? And I think this is really indicative of his character. He went back and he did it again and did it right this time in terms of his data measuring and all like that. And it's an exciting story, but nowhere near the first run, as it never is. But he built on that to then, because he surveyed the river, to survey the Colorado Plateau. And then he kind of worked on that and transformed that to help start and found the U.S. Geological Survey, serve as its second director, and really begin then to open up much larger conversations about the West. And he was a very effective communicator. He went, and one of his most incredible things I think he did was he went in front of the National Academy of Sciences, the great gray beards of the scientists, the most influential scientists of the day in the 1870s. And he pulled out a map and he had drawn a line on the map and it had bisected the United States, from California kind of going up to Canada through Oklahoma, all the way up through the Dakotas, and it's generally along the 100th meridian. And he said, this gentleman, because they were men at that point, this gentleman is a really important line to look at. And I looked at it, and he said, this is an isohydrate. What is that? It's a rain line. And it's an interesting thing that to the east of that, from that line east, you get 20 more inches of rain a day, a year. To the west, you get 20 inches more, less. Why is that important? Conventional agriculture needs at least 20 inches, unless it's helped by irrigation. And there's not very much water west of that line. So what he did with this map is he visually and graphically reimagined the American continent. People were thinking about railroads and political boundaries, and he said, "This is a let's look at this from a climate point of view." And he really it was a revolutionary new way of looking at the Earth. I mean, akin to, if you can imagine it, in the '60s when the astronauts came back and had pictures of the fragile Earth. It was profoundly revolutionary in that nature. He started developing things, thinking about concern that if we kind of continued a rampant development of the West without regard for sustainable development of water and land, that we would be headed toward possibly democracy threatening end results, litigation over water, monopolies, all sorts of things like that. People's dreams ruined, the small farmers that would move out there if we kind of kept going and unusual. And he ran up, of course, against manifest destiny.
What was his vision of the American West?
He really did feel that the Earth's resources in the West were for Americans to fulfill their destiny. I mean, he was certainly a man of his times. But he did feel that we had to do it in a sustainable way because otherwise things would really start building up and going wrong, right? So when he looked at water and he, you know, it's one thing to look at the West and say, oh, yeah, it's arid. Okay, well, what do you do with that in terms of thinking about, okay, how do you do water? Well, he wanted to keep water within watersheds. He wanted to keep control of water locally and tied to the land. So he was very much interested in some very savvy law that would relate to ownership of the water. So he would be horrified now to think about us moving water hundreds and hundreds of miles over mountains and all like that.
Obviously, his thoughts and visions didn't pan out. So what happened there?
So what he was doing really was perceived by a lot of the boosters of the American West as being anti-progress, that he was standing in the way of whatever you want to call it, the American dream, the great move, the great fulfillment, the great realization of America coming out and developing this whole new land, the American West, which was so different from the East. And he, you know, would go blue in the face telling people that that's not what he was trying to do. But again, the tide was so strong. And that's what he had been really arguing about was, yes, let's develop, but let's just do it sensibly. And let's pay attention. Let's do the maps. Let's figure it out. Let's do this. Let's not just go kind of heedlessly out there as though it's, you know, just kind of there for us to be, you know, to take.
I've been joined by John F. Ross. He's a historian and author of The Promise of the Grand Canyon, John Wesley Powell's Perilous Journey and His Vision for the American West. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.